How are we doing, everybody? This is AJ Torres of Calling Strikes, courtesy of the Worst Take Network. And today I got a very special guest. We got Tyler Crowder. What's happening, buddy?
What's up, AJ, man? Thanks for having me on, brother.
All right. So interesting offseason, in my opinion, particularly because do you think COVID has affected this offseason for, I'm just going to say, half of MLB? Do you think that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hurt, you know, people who aren't able to go to, you know, these facilities and, you know, go see, you know, say Yankee Stadium per se, you know, hey, you can't go get the whole experience of touring the field and meeting the executives and, you know, talking to Boone and all this. So it is definitely different. And it's been a slow off season. You know, I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. I cover the team during the season and everything. And it, like you said, like me and you said earlier, it's been a quiet offseason for the Atlanta Braves. We did sign Charlie Morton, which I think that's a good move. He's a veteran who came up in the Atlanta Braves organization as well, pitched in the World Series last year with Tampa. So I feel like that's a good move. And I think the Braves are just going to trust the rest of this young staff that they have.
Very young team. Outside Charlie Morton, who I think is the oldest on the team, you look all the way up and down the line, relief pitcher, starting pitcher, the lineup every day, bench players. This is a very young team.
Yeah, and Freddie Freeman's kind of that glue that holds it all together. Of course, you have Ozzie Albies on a team-friendly contract. You also have Acuna, who – I think he's primed for an excellent year this year, especially if you play 162 games. I know that's the plan. You know, hopefully they can get in 140.
I think that's one of the rare 10-year deals where, listen, I'll just say this. The way that Ronald Acuna Jr. has played since he's been here, he's been worth probably around $25 to $30 million. So as far as I'm concerned, right, God forbid this happens to him, but if he falls off a cliff in the next 5 years, that whole deal is paid for. And they're talking about Tatis Jr. getting this 11-year, $320 million contract. And I'm thinking to myself, hold on. He hasn't completed a full season yet. His rookie year, he played half a year. He played the COVID year. So he hasn't still played one full season of baseball. And you're talking, I'm sorry, more than – twice the contract of Ronald Acuna?
Yeah, three times as much. And the thing was, the Atlanta Braves, Acuna had a great season his rookie year, and the Braves were smart to go ahead and jump in on that deal. And, hey, a kid from the Dominican Republic who did not come from a lot, you offer a kid $100 million, I mean, it's hard to turn that down. Did they get a lot of years out of him? Yes. Will they probably have to restructure the contract at some point if he outperforms it? Of course. But right now, he's on a team-friendly deal, him and Ozzie Albies. So those are the two young kids that kind of get it started up at the top of the lineup. Then you have a Freddie Freeman, Travis Dennard coming off a big year last year as well. And the rumor right now that the Atlanta Braves are interested in JT Realmuto. And that is an interesting name to keep in touch with, because – he is a very talented catcher. I've watched him play with the Marlins. I've watched him play Philadelphia Phillies. This is a talented guy who not only is a great catcher, but he's probably the top hitting catcher, one of the top hitting catchers in all of Major League Baseball. So if they're able to sign him, if the NL keeps the DH this year, like I think most people think they will, you could possibly have an issue where Travis Dennard's your DH, JT Realmuto. I've heard that maybe he can play corner, you know, maybe third base, maybe possibly outfield as well. But I think you keep JT Realmuto a catcher, and then you maybe add in a Travis Dennard. And I just don't think we're going to be able to re-sign Azunia. As good as he was, as talented as he was, what he did for that lineup last year was great. I just think they would have already got a deal done by now. It just seems like, you know, hey, you probably would have got a deal done. I was all for offering him 3 years, $70 million, somewhere around that range.
That's a lot too.
Yeah, and that's a lot of money. But at the same time, he got paid $18 million last year. So he's going to be in that $18 to $23 million range. And at the same time, if I'm the Atlanta Braves, I try to offer him some kind of 2-year, 60 or 3-year, $60 million, $70 million deal. Hopefully he'll take it. Cause I mean, I think he's probably worth more, a little bit more than that, just because of how good of a hitter he is. This guy crushed the Atlanta Braves in the postseason in 2019 when he was with the Cardinals. Guy could not get him out. And then once he gets hot, I mean, this guy is just, he's a great hitter. His defense, yes, he doesn't play, you know, amazing defense in the outfield, but with that DH rule, it really changes the aspect of this team.
Absolutely.
Young, powerful lineup. Austin Riley just getting into his own. Dansby Swanson had a great postseason last year. Freddie Freeman, Ozzy, I mean, the list goes on. Christian Pache, a lot of people don't even know about him. He is a top prospect. He's going to hit, you know, probably – you know, 8-9 in the order, play some good defense in center field. Then you have Acuna. So, I mean, we probably need to sign an outfielder. You know, some names like Jock Peterson have been thrown out there. Azuna been thrown out there. I've read a report, Jose Ramirez, you could maybe go after him, get him to play third base and then move Austin Riley to the outfield. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential.
I'm assuming Austin Riley would be playing left field.
Yeah, and he can play. I mean, he can play some left field, honestly, but he's not an everyday outfielder. Yes, he can
get you see that. Done. That's the problem I have is because now I think if Ronald Acuna stayed in center field, I think they put him in right because they didn't want to have rough miles on him. You know, yeah. They want his bat in the lineup. They want fresher legs, plus the base stealing. So, I mean, I get that part. But as far as the outfield goes, the one thing that very concerns me is if you want somebody to play everyday outfield and there's a hole right now, what about Markakis, which, I mean, he didn't get re-signed. He's a free agent right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of looking down the list, and I do think that the offseason is very weird because of this DH rule that I thought we'd hear news about, but sure enough, the clock is ticking. Sure enough, around Valentine's Day is when they show up, the pitchers and catchers. And if you're Trevor Bauer and JT Realmuto, you're like, okay, I got my backpack. Where am I? Basically, where's my plane ticket? You know what I mean? Yeah. Where am I going?
Yeah.
As far as JT Realmuto goes, in the beginning of the offseason, I remember hearing things about like a $200 million asking price, which I think that's not going to happen, a chance of hell. I'm hearing the Phillies offer is 5 years, 100.
Yeah.
And for the Atlanta Braves, that's a lot asking for it. And then if you go to other things, I understand where versatility and everything else goes. I think the main reason Jock Peterson hasn't been signed is if you're going to pay a guy, you know, I'm pretty sure a qualifying offer, you know, it's like 18, 19 million. If he's going to be worth $20 million a year, and this goes for any position, first base, outfield, it doesn't matter how good you are you going to pay a guy $20 million a year to be a platoon? Jock Peterson can't hit lefties. Bad.
Yeah.
And in that postseason run, the last 5 or so years, the Braves have played the Dodgers in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton Kershaw, nope. Come on. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah. And that's got to be right now the Atlanta Braves' focus right now. What can we do to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers? We've had problems with them. 2 years ago, they beat us 3-1 in the divisional round. And then, you know, last year that we were up 3-1 on them, just kind of ran out of pitching. Our pitching kind of – our staff, we were just one pitcher short. If Mike Soroka would have never got hurt, it's tough to look at things like that, ifs and
very,
buts and stuff.
Very.
But if Mike Soroka never gets hurt, I mean, maybe Ian Anderson doesn't come in and throw good either. So it's tough to look at it like that. But at the end of the day, I think if Mike Soroka, Anderson are healthy, that they win that series. But at the end of the day, they just didn't make enough plays. They had chances to get it. They had chances to get it done. Their bats kind of, you know, fell apart the last couple games. But at the end of the day, this team is very, very close. And like you said, AJ, they're a very young team, very exciting team, got a lot of power, got a nice rotation. So I think this team is literally one or two players away. I'd love to try to re-sign Azuna. I just don't think that's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. Thought that would have happened by now. So it's interesting to see who they do go after. Jock Peterson, yes, he's going to hit right-handed pitchers well, but you know he does struggle against lefties. So that's a thing, like Nick Markakis kind of struggled against lefties as well. So with Christian Pache and then you got Acuna, you're good right there. You just got to get one more guy in there. Ian Anderson, Max Fried, Soroka, got some guys at the top. Bryce Wilson pitched a wonderful game four last year against the Dodgers. Shut them down, really, for six innings. And so we got a lot of talent. But at some point, you know, you can build your farm system up and up and up. When's Alex Anthopoulos going to make a move with some of these prospects? You got a guy, Drew Waters, who's a top 20 prospect in Major League Baseball, outfielder, can hit for power, hit for average. You know, he's a guy that, you know, could he help out in the outfield next year? Yes, but could you use him as a trade piece for, you know, a star player? You look at Francisco Lindor. I mean, they didn't give up that much. The New York Mets didn't give up that much for Francisco Lindor. So can you use Waters, use maybe a Bryce Wilson in one of these trades and kind of get, you know, a star player, you know, a Mookie Betts, a Francisco Lindor type player to go along with Acuna and Albies and Freddie Freeman. So it's going to be a great season. Of course, the Marlins have made some moves. The Mets have made some moves. So the NL East, I mean, I think it's going to be a nice, tough division in 2021, and we'll see what happens.
I agree. Also, I called Lindor going to the Mets. I just didn't think that Carrasco would be going there. And it's actually interesting because, you know, I dislike the Indians owner heavily. I think it's a disgrace. And even before Lindor hit the market, the reason why that value tanked so much is because 3 years ago he said, I'm not paying him that kind of money. He could move on and good luck at whoever else pays him. So essentially he's been on the block for about 3 years and nobody's bitten until obviously a new regime comes in. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's get a – I had a feeling that Jimenez was going to be in there. I thought that another significant piece was going to be in there, possibly Brandon Nimmo. But sure enough, no, it's Rosario and Jimenez. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, two other prospects you never heard of before. And you're like, wait a minute. And you get Lindor and Carrasco. But sure enough, what happens? I believe Lindor agreed on $20 million to avoid arbitration. I was thinking that's going to be 20 even at the start. But sure enough, Carrasco, throughout his whole rest of his contract, it's $38 million. Right now, that's more than what the Indians' payroll is going into 2021.
Yeah, it's like $40 million. I mean, it's unreal. Like,
it's absolutely ridiculous. And every time that you eat up money, the cost is going to be less prospect-wise. But I'm looking at this team from last year, and of course, Ozuna is looking for a team right now. But then you have a couple interesting ones. I mentioned Markakis. Mark Melanson's available. Darren O'Day, old, but he could be a specialist. Fulte, but I think Fultonevich kind of burned out his time in Atlanta, and I think they didn't want our project. Adam Duvall was non-tendered. And who knows if Cole Hamels is going to pitch again. I mean, I could see him maybe in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And well, then the sign of Drew Smyly, that actually surprised me as well.
Yeah, Drew Smyly from the Giants came over. You know, we got a guy from Baltimore last year at the deadline too. He didn't really pan out, left-handed pitcher. So I think, like you said, right now we have a nice little rotation. You know, I'm on the Bauer train, man. I love Trevor Bauer. I love what he brings to a clubhouse. I love how he goes out there and just competes every pitch. I mean, this guy studies. He reminds me a lot of a Greg Maddux type pitcher. Also, he can bring you a lot, not only to the mound, but bring stuff outside. You know, he's a YouTube personality. He gets on Twitter and talk. I like that. I like that he interacts with fans and things like that. I think if you were to add Trevor Bauer to a rotation with what the Atlanta Braves already have, I mean, you're looking at a top-notch rotation who can compete with anyone in a seven-game series. So I don't think the Braves are going to go that direction. But I would completely understand if they were able to pull that off. I mean, I would just, that would be shocking. But their name has been floating around there with Trevor Bauer. I think that Trevor Bauer probably ends up with, you know, one of these top market teams, the Angels, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets. I mean, he's going to go to a big market team. He'll get $120 to $150 million in my mind.
I think more.
Yeah, I mean, personally, He could get more, but I just think that with how the market is right now, 2020 with the COVID stuff, and now, I mean, no, 2021 now, but I think he could probably land at least $120, $160 million deal. But, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if it got up to maybe $200 million. So we'll see. I know he's got the beef with Garrett Cole, but, you know, he says he's kind of put that behind. They put that behind him. They were teammates at UCLA.
I call BS on that, man. I really do. Yeah. Everything that I've mentioned, and if you ever get time, who makes great content, there's this YouTube channel. I've talked to him vaguely on Twitter. It's called Baseball Doesn't Exist. And this guy's got interesting stuff on Bauer and why he suddenly became this monster to the Pine Tar debacle that's going on right now. And I'll get into that momentarily. But I think Bauer, right now, I got to see Angels.
Yeah.
That's my thought right now. As far as Braves, you know, I'm looking at the payroll right now. And it's looking – now, mind you, this includes the 40-man roster, the benefits included in it, minor league salaries. We're looking at around 100 and just below $135 million. So as far as tax base, there's about $75 million. But in history speaking, this is a lot for a Braves team.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
And the Braves don't want to spend a bunch of money, and that's, they've relied so heavily on this farm system to get them through. You know, they had the great run in the 90s, then they kind of rebuilt a little bit. But, I mean, right now, the way the scouting has gone, but we're spending money. I mean, we gave Will Smith, a reliever last year, $13 million.
Which is a lot for him, I think.
Yeah, and I understand the need to go get him, especially after – the season that they had in 2019 when they lost to the Cardinals, they blew two leads in game one and game four or game three. I can't remember exactly.
It was all in the bullpen. You're absolutely right. I remember this crumbling down. They're being stomped on like stairs.
Bullpen. Yeah. And I was at game one and it was just a joke. You know, Luke Jackson and, I mean, I was frustrated.
I got to talk to you about him. I mean, tell me this, okay?
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys where, now mind you, I actually found it very hilarious that some people think he looks like the singer from Drowning Pool.
And Luke Jackson.
That was good, but has he gotten your last nerve?
I mean, that was not. Yeah, he has, because here's the thing. He'll go out one night, and he'll look really good. Got those 98, you know, with a nice little backdoor slider, can throw some off-speed stuff. I mean, the guy has all the tools in the tool shed, but he just can't put it together on a nightly basis. And it's like when you think he's going to blow a lead, he's absolutely going to blow a lead. But you put him in there, and you're up five runs, he'll shut him out every single time. So he's just a frustrating piece. They re-signed him as well, so I think he's back on the roster. You know, he's a guy who, he's got the stuff. I think it's more in between his ears more than anything. I'm not a huge fan of Luke Jackson, but you know, he does have good stuff. I get why they like him, but at the same time, you got to go out there and perform.
I mean, as Don LaGreca said it, I mean, this is a broken man. He might as well be drinking bourbon out of a baby bottle.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll make you upset. That's for sure. He's one of those
relief pitchers. Now, mind you, as a Yankee fan, right? I think it was very sickening to see Aaron Boone, right? Now, mind you, Adam Ottavino was on the bench and he goes, you know what? I just don't trust this guy right now. you essentially only trusted three guys out of that bullpen, and you signed Corey Kluber. Now, listen, I understand that the outside the last 2 years, he was a Cy Young Award winner. But the problem I have here is that you have a locker room ever since 2012 has been injury prone, has the major league record of guys on the IL.
Yeah.
Everything aside, you're paying a guy $10 to $11 million. And what's the ceiling? What's the floor? This is all guaranteed money. Hope. You guys can't stay healthy. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. Now, if it was another team like the Braves that wanted to tweak a project, I get it. Giants, I get it. Any other team, I get it. For someone that's trying to win it all and trying to make a project when here's an idea, here's a good project, keeping your guys healthy outside of Gerrit Cole. I mean, name it down the line.
And Aaron Judge last year. Aaron Judge had some injury issues. I feel like if he would have been healthy the entire year, he was playing at an MVP level early on. And he's a guy, if he can stay healthy, he can put up stupid numbers in that ballpark. So,
yes.
You know, it's going to be an exciting season. I'm really excited for the season. I hope they do play between, like I said, 140. Right now, they're saying they're going to play 162 games. So we'll
I'm excited. I hope they let Brandt, and I also think they're prepared more. And I don't think there's going to be minor leagues again. I think there's going to be those alternative sites for when those guys, if somebody does happen to get sick. Now, we don't know anything about this virus, and I think that none of us have the credentials to play doctor. So I'm not going to play doctor, neither will you, but let's just assume somebody gets it, where if it's a second time, third time, precaution, whatever.
Yeah.
We have the people that are at this alternative site that are going to be up at a moment's notice, and we are going to try and get the 162 games. There's got to be a couple screwy things. Like I remember there was this scary Mets case over in Florida, but then sure enough, they went on the plane and back to New York anyways, which to me makes no sense. I digress.
Yeah.
But as far as everything else goes, I think it's got to be an interesting season. What we will learn by this, I don't know. And the one thing is that I remember a different sport, but do you remember last year's NFL season, like early 2020? Like we're wondering like all these big free agents again. And we're thinking, remember it used to be, hey, you fly down, you go to the GM's office, you shake hands, you sign the contract, the physical's there. Well, I remember there was a time where they were debating like, hey, we can't even get this guy in the doctor's office to get a physical. And for guys like Jadeveon Clowney, they're like, is the knee okay?
Yeah.
And that guy was asking for like 5 years, a hard million, like a J.J. Watt or an Aaron Donald type contract. And I'm like, this is surreal. This is crazy.
Yeah. I'm interested. I think that's definitely playing a role in some of the, you know, the slow treading like it's going right now. But come early February, like you said, that's when pitchers and catchers report. That's when some of these guys will come flying off the shelves and money will be spent. And I'm hoping that they allow fans in some of these games this year. You know, not being able to go to a Braves game last year where I'm an hour and 20 minutes away. So I go to as many games as I possibly can, 6, 7, 8 throughout the season. And it's tough not being able to go to see a Braves game. So hopefully they're able to get that back on track. Hopefully, you know, the measures they have in place can work, and we'll get to, like I said, see 162 ball games. And like I said, hopefully a Braves are right there on the cusp. So, you know, the Dodgers, you got to worry about the Dodgers. You got to worry about the Padres now with their pitching staff. But I think lineup wise, we can go toe to toe with anyone with a lineup. It's just now we also have the pitching staff to match as well. So we'll go 4 or 5 deep on the pitching staff. Our bullpen was pretty good last year. 2 years ago, like I said, they struggled. So I think we're just 1 or 2 pieces away, AJ. And if they're able to, you know, sign Azuña or, you know, maybe trade for a third baseman, there's a lot of names out there that have been linked to the Braves. Chris Bryant, Arenado, Jose Ramirez. If you're able to get one of those, move Riley to left, you got a really, really deep lineup. So we'll see what happens. But Alex Anthonopoulos, it's time to make a move. It's time to go get one of these big, big guys that, you know, top five, top 10 players out there to pair with what you already have. And I'm excited to see what happens.
I hear you. I just don't want to give up too much for a rental player, particularly like Chris Bryant. I remember a long time ago, he denied a $200 million extension. But just remember, he's part of that Vegas crowd. The Vegas boys are Harper, Joey Gallo, and then him, yeah. Chris Bryant. So yeah. I'm very skeptical on that. And I don't think you want to rebuild like what happened. Remember 5 years ago, that awful rebuild? And it was a couple of painful 2 or 3 years to be a Braves fan. I worked with one, and he's just kind of going, I'm watching the games. I got the package. And he's just like, yep, tipping his cap. He's secretly going, oh, the pain.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. We had a couple of rough years there, but overall, as a Braves fan, you know, we've been spoiled. Only one championship, but we had a lot of success when I was younger. Kind of had, you know, great success the last few years. We're just right at the door, man. We're checking if it's locked and everything, but we just need to bust it down. And I think, like I said, the next three years are huge for the Atlanta Braves. If we're able to get one championship in the next 3 years, then I'll be a happy man. Next 3 years are huge with what core we have, pitching staff-wise, guys under contract for a few years. So the time is now. So, you know, you can't wait. You know, the time frame for teams is so short. You know, teams like the Dodgers, you know, you don't just get 6, 7, 8 tries to do it and then finally get it done. You know, that just doesn't happen. So,
well, they also spend like drunken sailors, so it's a lot different.
And the Braves don't have that. Braves aren't going to do that. So, we'll see what happens, and I'm really excited. And also, before I go, I want to talk real quick about Andrew Jones. Okay,
the best defensive WAR of all time, and that tops Willie Mays. I made a podcast recently, and I'm like, listen, I don't care what you got to do, put him in. Give me a take.
Okay, so I watched this guy, and he made it look so easy. You know, I'm a kid. I'm a young kid. I'm watching, you know, Andrew Jones in the World Series. I'm 7 years old. I'm watching him. He's like 19. I mean, are you kidding me? This guy literally is hitting two home runs at Yankee Stadium in the World Series in 96. It's just like unreal. Like watching those highlights and watching how skinny he was and like, I think the moment was just so big. He just didn't even like, he just couldn't process it. And he just didn't care. He just went out there and played baseball like he had done his whole life. He's got, you know, almost 2,000 hits, 430 home runs, hit 250. But that's not why we remember Andrew Jones. We remember him for what he did in center field. He won 10 consecutive gold gloves. 10 consecutive gold gloves in center field, the hardest, you know, besides shortstop, center field is a tough position to play, having to cover those gaps, and he made it look really easy. Also stole 150 bases, 1,300 RBIs, 1,200 runs. He's got a Hall of Fame resume. What they don't see, I'm just not sure. Because, like you said, his WAR is 62, and his defensive WAR is probably the greatest. You said Willie Mays?
As defensive WAR for center fielders.
Yeah.
The top is the number one defensive WAR for center fielders of all time. I looked this up. Yes.
And these defensive metrics weren't as popular then as they are now, if that makes any sense. Some of these
back 10 years ago wasn't as popular as it is now. I mean, I want to say around 2013, 14, that's when it started getting popular and starting to get huge. Now it's a big deal. Yeah. But also, put in perspective, for his size, center field, I mean, tough. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking of it now because usually, those kind of guys, they move positions. Like, how many times have you seen like a shortstop go to third base, and then you're like, okay, we're putting him in corner outfield? Andrew Jones consistently went to, you know, he was constantly in center field. There are some guys that are probably thinking, you know what? if he sizes up like this, he might go to third base. Obviously, it couldn't happen because of Chipper Jones.
Yeah.
Just consistently, right? And a lot of people look at the big-time numbers, per se. And if you look at that one last year where it was like it was below the Mendoza line, but I got to look at it as dominant years. And I remember him in the mid-2000s. He was probably one of the top three, top five National League threats in all of baseball. When you look at the dominant years, I'm thinking to myself, you got to let him in. Some people are like, oh, you can't let in good players. You got to let in great players. It's like, hey, buddy, this guy was a great player if you knew that era. Especially, listen, I know that we're younger than a lot of these guys, but you got to let him in.
Yeah, and in 2005, he hit 51 home runs with 130 RBIs. Name's never been connected to steroids.
Was not connected to anything. None of them.
Finished in the top 15 MVP voting 5 times with the Atlanta Braves. Won a Rookie of the Year award, 10 straight Gold Gloves. Made multiple 5 or 6 All-Star games. I mean, he was the best defensive center fielder for 10 straight years. I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore. It just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't, because of number one, injuries. Mm-hmm. Number two, I don't really like how the Gold Glove works. I think there needs to be a utility outfielder, because if you're one of those guys where, hey, sometimes he plays left, sometimes he plays right. If a guy gets hurt, he shifts over. You know, that's why I think there should be a utility outfield and maybe like a utility infield, just because there's some of those guys that I think really deserve credit. But this guy just was the man. It's just that simple.
And he made it look easy. That's
also, if you take out these steroid guys, right? If you take out these steroid guys, right? Like if we go, top 15. We're like, okay, how many of those guys were juicing before you get to Andrew Jones? Exactly. Because if you remember, Ryan Braun, his juicing keister robbed Matt Kemp of an MVP.
Yep, I remember that.
Matt Kemp is on an up and down career, injuries, arthritis in his hips, whatever the case may be. Ryan Braun robbed Matt Kemp of an MVP. Changed my mind.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. And that's the thing. Guys like Roger Clemens, guys like Barry Bonds, these guys, yes, they did use steroids. But at the end of the day, they were dominant before they even did that. Barry Bonds was hitting 30 home runs, stealing 30 bases, playing great outfield, a bunch of Gold Gloves with the Pirates before, well before he ever touched any steroids. And my thing, I think that Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter I've ever seen live. I've been to some games where he played the Atlanta Braves. I mean, just the way his presence at the plate. I mean, if you threw this guy a strike, I mean, he's going to hit it 400 feet. I mean, the guy was just unstoppable. Roger Clemens, another name. Yeah, he did use steroids, but what he did early on in his career before he did all that, I think you got to let some of these guys in, but that is definitely messing up the voting process right now. I definitely feel like that's messing up.
I've been trying to figure out what's been going on with the voting process, and I know that it just seems like there's constantly a problem that happens, because if you remember a Lenny Dykstra, you know, 80s, a little before our time.
Yeah.
My father and I were talking about him not long ago. He was very early to the party as far as steroids, and apparently they got banned in 1990. But there's a lot of, you know, it's not like it was now with the investigations, the drug tests, you know, minor leaguers, they'll get penalized if they test positive for marijuana, whereas the major leaguers, they get fined and it doesn't reach the media. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just stupid things like that. I'm just very concerned about it, because there's some guys, right? They might have taken like a banned substance. Gary Sheffield, he did hang out with Bonds. The problem that I have with him and that the writers have, and mind you, there's some people that have seen their ballots. Ken Rosenthal thought this might be his last. He thought because of a personal issue, he's not voting some guys in. That includes Andrew Jones and Todd Helton.
Mm-hmm.
which, you know, awful by my end. But I remember Gary Sheffield, he was using some sort of recovery cream that had illegal substances in it. And I'm like, okay, was this guy juicing or is that banned substance all there is? But if he's around the same crowd, right? Like, mm-hmm. think about it. If you're around the same guys, if you hang out with A-Rod and Bonds, what are the chances that you're not on the vitamins?
Yeah.
It's just plain and simple, because if you look at these guys, they just messed up for everybody. Because even though Barry Bonds had the talent, A-Rod had the talent. Now, from everything I found out from A-Rod, apparently from his sophomore season, he was like one of those Derek Jeter builds, very defensive shortstop. Well, apparently between that and his junior year, now this is high school because everybody knew about him before, like age 18, he gained like 25 pounds or something in that 1 year span. Now, mm-hmm. mind you, that stops your growth and height. That really affects your body. And if you look at the two hip surgeries he's had, the way the steroids, they say, destroys your body. I mean, this just makes a lot of, essentially, like Bonds, the talent was there, but then you become a chemical machine. Mm-hmm. And that's just what makes a difference. I get that you still got to see the ball. You still got to hit the ball, right? Yeah. But if you already have the talent and then you give yourself an edge, right? I mean, if you're having an edge, why can't anybody else?
Exactly.
And that's, I think, why the same thing with the pine tar, which is also another issue going on. I think they should just approve another substance as in like, hey, we're going to approve this substance, right? If you want to use this, we'll check it and then just play ball. None of this, hey, we want to inspect the ball. He's using it, but we're using it too.
Yeah.
Approve something that everybody in the union and MLB could agree on. And this will make it a lot easier than fines, suspensions, and teams at each other's throats.
Yeah. And the thing is, one last thing before I got to get out of here. But AJ, another thing is the guys who are using steroids, they're using it to get on the same playing field as some of these other guys. That's a thing that doesn't get talked about enough. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And whenever, if everyone's doing it and you know a guy's out there
and trying to get that new $100 million contract,
he's hitting 60 home runs because he's on juice and you're only hitting 45. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's hard to say no to something like that when you know, hey, other people are doing it. Hey, they're getting away with it. I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying there just needs to be an asterisk from, you know, whatever year you think it started in the 90s to 2003, 2004. There just needs to be an asterisk, not anything crazy, just saying, hey, steroid era in baseball.
I think that's fair. Bonds, asterisk, Clemens, asterisk, Sheffield, asterisk. There's even mm-hmm. some guys, they even think Piazza was on the juice and he's in.
Yeah.
So exactly. Before you take off, you do a couple of, I'll just shoot a couple of questions at you and you'll just a couple of quick answers.
Yeah, let's
do it. Just a couple round off, a little firing round. All right.
Cool.
MVP of the National League.
I'll go Ronald Acuna Jr.
Ooh.
He was my pick last year, so he didn't win it last year. So I'll go him. I'll go him this year. We'll go back-to-back Braves MVPs.
All right. Floor record for the Braves as well as the ceiling. I got 75 wins, and ceiling I got 88.
Gotcha. So I'm a little higher on them. I think they win 82 games at their low. I mean, 82, 80, somewhere right around there.
All right.
I honestly think this team could win 95 plus games this year if everything goes right for them.
Bullpen.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what other moves they make. But yeah, I'm going between 82 and 95 wins.
The reason why I was saying this with Matt, and he goes, this is a hard win team maybe. And I'm like, listen, man, I've seen, look at the Dodgers. How many times has Clayton Kershaw pitched 7 innings? And then sure enough, it's like, listen, we need 6 outs, people, 6 outs. Sure enough, yeah. Bullpen, you know what? It wasn't my day. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. All right, JT Realmuto, is he the sign you think this team needs?
I would sign Azuña yesterday if I could. I think Travis Dinard's at catcher. I think he's good. The only reason I like the signing of JT Realmuto, guess what? You weaken the Phillies and you strengthen here a little bit. That's why I like that in division rivalry. But if I'm Alex Anopoulos, I'm signing Azunia, giving him 3 years, $60 million, $70 million, and let's run it back. That's what I would do.
All right. So do you think this team could compete with the Dodgers, compete with the Padres? Do you see any big trade acquisition going on soon?
I think that rumor is the rumor for looking for a third baseman is real if you can't re-sign Azunia. So I think adding a third baseman, moving Austin Riley to left field, is a real possibility if you're not able to sign Azunia. Also, if you sign JT Realmuto, then you move Denard to DH, and then you're still kind of looking for an outfielder. So doesn't make as much sense to me. I mean, I get it. He's a great player. I like watching him. Look out for the Braves adding possible third baseman. Jose Ramirez, Chris Bryant, Arenado is a name to look out for. Yes, the Braves are going to have to pay some money to those guys. But at the end of the day, if you can trade for one of these guys and you win a World Series, you'll be remembered forever. It doesn't matter. Even if you lose them to free agency or anything like that, if the Braves can compete with anyone in the National League. I know that for a fact, without a doubt. Their pitching staff matches up. The only team I'm worried about the most, and I've been worried about them for 3 or 4 years, is the Dodgers. Yes, the Padres are new. They're hip. They got some good guys. I still like the Braves in a 5-7-game series versus the Padres. The Dodgers, I don't know about that. So we'll see what happens.
All right. So here's my last one, and this is kind of a funny one. How does Freddie not win MVP?
Yeah, Freddie Freeman?
Yes.
Well, you know, he just won the one this past year, but you're talking about, well, hasn't he won more?
Yes. How Got come it. There hasn't been more? Because I think this guy's been robbed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's put up great numbers. For one thing, there's a lot of good first basemen in the National League. That's another thing that kind of he gets, you know, sometimes snubbed from an all-star vote, all-star start, because there's so many good first basemen in the National League. Joey Votto's been there for a long time. There's a lot of good first basemen in the league. But I just think that maybe the small market in Atlanta, even though Atlanta's a big market, you know, as a city, small market, they don't spend a lot of money, like you said. This $135 million.
Well, we could argue the Joey Votto case. I mean, I kind of think that him and Freddie Freeman are kind of toe-to-toe as far as career and on the way to Cooperstown. There's some people that think that Joey Votto isn't a Hall of Famer, and I'm like, really? How can you not?
Yeah, no, Joey Votto is a really good player.
I'd have to put Votto and Freeman in there. I mean, it's just crazy not to, particularly because there's got to be a certain standard now, because if you look at it, right, they're like, oh, I want a guy who's hit at least 200 hits in a season. Not even DJ LeMahieu could get close to doing that now. DJ LeMahieu, Tim Anderson, you know, Ronald Acuna, Yelich, all those very good contact hitters right there up for MVP. We don't even know if they'll get close to 200 hits anymore. The injuries, the rest days, everything else. The game is just changing. If a guy is lucky to get 162 plus, he's one of the best hitters in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Freddie Freeman's consistent. He plays 158, 162 games a year, barely sits out, went to third base a couple years ago to help out the Braves for a few games. I mean, the guy's an ultimate team player, his work ethic. He's been doing it for, you know, now 10, 11 years now. He keeps this up, keeps up this trajectory for the next few years. He's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer without a doubt. And hopefully Freddie can get another MVP, but I guarantee you Freddie would trade in that MVP for a World Series, and that's what kind of guy he is.
I think a lot of people would just kind of like, all right, keep removing. We got a bigger objective. And a lot of teams have just been – I mean, come on, man. I was hit hard with the Astros cheating scandal when a Yankee team that had zero expectations going into it, and sure enough, there's a lot of things that I blame for, particularly Ronald Torres not hitting for the DH spot between Jacoby Ellsbury and Chase Headley. I think his contact would have been great for us. But that's just like, you know, we've all had our ups and downs. We've definitely taken our big hits. We just got to be optimistic. We got to be positive and move on. As far as any Braves comments, would you like to leave off on anything?
I just think the Atlanta Braves get it done for a I think they've won the NL East now, what, three straight years? I think we're going to make it four this year.
It's gonna be it's gonna be hard to make it a fourth, though. That's not gonna be. It's not gonna be a lie down.
Marlins are improved. The Philadelphia Phillies are dangerous. New York Mets. I mean, it's gonna be tough, but I like our chances. I like the Atlanta Braves' chances to come out of the NL East, and if they can do that, anything can happen in October. So we'll see what happens.
So you think the Braves are the scariest team in the NL East?
In the NL East, yes. I'll still go Atlanta Braves at the top, followed by the New York Mets. Ooh. And then probably the Marlins. I mean, the Marlins are –
the Marlins over the Phillies. Wow.
Yeah, over the Phillies. Like I said, the Phillies may be losing JT Realmuto. They had some issues with that bullpen last year. Their starters were hit or miss. So, I mean, you could go either or on the Marlins and Phillies. I mean,
and that was the worst bullpen in baseball last year, if you remember. And that has one of the best bullpen managers in all of baseball, in Girardi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just got to be – I mean, right now with Didi a free agent, JT a free agent, the closing position and the bullpen just up in the air, even though they've acquired some guys, I think they're in trouble. The Marlins, I think they're a little bit away. I think Jeter will figure it out in probably about a year or two. But I'm kind of with you. This is between the Braves and the Mets, and I don't think either team is going to lie down and have somebody else take it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for the season, and hopefully we'll be hearing some news on, you know, maybe one more acquisition before the season starts.
Anything in particular? Or
like I said, I think if you asked 90 – if you asked 100 Braves fans, 98 of them would say they want to bring – 99 of them would say they want to bring Azuña back. What he was able to do with the clubhouse, what he was able to do to hit after Freddie Freeman in that lineup, and you got a nasty 1-2-3-4, and then, he just got a nice lineup with him in there. So I liked what he brought to the team last year, played on an $18 million contract, wants to get a couple more years in there, but I think if you can re-sign him, you do it. So we'll see what happens.
All right. And all right, Crow, where can we find you on social media so everyone could know what you're doing and where you're at?
Yeah, guys. So I'm basically anywhere you get your podcasts at, you can find my podcast, Kicking It with Crowder, Spotify, Apple, the iHeartRadio app, all that good stuff. And then also, guys, I'm also on YouTube, my channel, Kicking It with Crowder. And then my Twitter is at Kick It with Crow. Got a lot of good content coming out there daily. And, also make picks and all that good stuff on my Twitter as well.
All right. And we will definitely have some content for your future. Hey, Crow, thanks for having on. And tell you what, man, during the season, we'll be in talks because this is going to be a crazy, crazy year. And after the bomb monstrosity of 2020, I think all of us are jumping out of our skin to see this. We're just so ready for it. We just want baseball because we felt like we got, we basically had like what, a third of a season. And listen, I hate the extended playoffs, all that, but at this point we're just like, come on, football's winding down. Let's go.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me, AJ, and I'll definitely be coming on during the season, man.
All right. Pleasure. Take it easy, man.
Bye, brother.